And we are back. And we just finished watching what is probably in the pantheon of horror, one of the better recognized properties, Scream from 1996. Rated R with a runtime of 1 hour and 51 minutes. According to IMDb, this is the story of a year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl, Sydney, played by Neve Campbell, is terrorized by a mass killer who targets her and her friends by using scary games as part of a deadly game. This is directed by the infamous Wes Craven, with writing credits to Kevin Williamson, who's had a fabulous career in horror.
Yeah, teen horror.
Yeah, he probably
loves killing teenagers.
Yeah, he probably doesn't need to work another day in his life.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go around the table and get impressions. I'm going to start with you, Olive G. What did you think of the film?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character?
No one.
No one? Okay. Did you have a favorite scene?
They were all dumb.
I mean, that's part of the horror trope, right?
They're supposed to be,
dumb, horny
teenagers.
Even
when they're aware of the rules, they're still dumbasses.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the guy from the movie store was smart, or he knew the rules, kind of.
He did know the rules, and he adhered to them.
Kind of. He was sus. He still broke, the second rule, was it? Of not being
the drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's true.
You
that
know,
is true.
He was sober enough, I guess. He was sober. So
I mean, he got sobered up pretty quick at the end there when he's getting mutilated. What did you think of Sydney?
I guess she was smart enough. Like, she was able to get by the killer. I guess she fought a lot. I don't know.
Well, she was definitely determined not to go down without swinging, at least, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because you're introduced to Sydney, and she's sort of like an average teenager who's had this personal tragedy. Her mom was brutally murdered. And I guess
they don't reveal that right away either.
Yeah, they don't reveal that right away, which is kind of interesting. But this movie starts off right at the races. I mean, it's kind of funny. This is such a template. You could see the influences of previous horror movies, and you can see the horror movies that have been influenced by this particular movie. And I think that you and I were having a conversation about how, not that horror has ever not been a genre, but I think after the explosion of 80s horror, I think there was a lull. And I think this is the first time where all the right elements came together. I mean, Wes Craven has a pretty famous career. Kevin Williamson is writing all these things. You have pretty people in this story. No one needs to go topless. And the story itself is kind of intricately woven and really well done, if you think about it. And it's sort of like a nod and a wink to previous horrors when you have Randy, played by Jamie Kennedy, who's kind of like the exposition guy who's kind of telling you that these are the things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
In a horror film. What did you think of Gail, the reporter that doesn't want to let this story go?
Honestly, I wanted her to get mutilated so badly. Like, she was so annoying.
What made her annoying?
Oh my, she was so persistent and She rightfully deserved that punch to the face.
She was doing her job, and that's what made her annoying.
Ah, okay. Well, I mean, I guess as a tabloid journalist.
Would you say she redeemed herself, though?
I guess.
Yeah. I
mean, at the very end.
I guess.
Did you still want to see her get mutilated?
She killed the killer, so she deserved to live. But I really wanted her to get gutted. When she came to the house, she was so annoying.
She was annoying, but she was right, apparently, through the whole thing.
Right. It wasn't Cotton that killed Sydney's mom.
It wasn't Cotton.
That was a
terrible name. She just wanted to boost her ratings for her book.
Well, that,
yes. She was not shy about her selfish motivations.
Yeah.
But she still was correct.
Yeah. G, what did you think of the film?
It was all right. It was entertaining.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, but we should wait till the end. Did you have a favorite part of this film?
No.
No? What about a favorite character?
No.
No. Okay, how did you feel
about the level of violence? Because in the beginning, there were some pretty gory bits there.
It was pretty good.
that was acceptable. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little.
It was befitting of the film.
Okay.
It was good. It was a good amount.
What did you think of Casey, who we see in the beginning, played by Drew Barrymore?
That was Drew Barrymore?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Oh, yeah, that was. She's a little dumb.
Yeah.
He asks her who's the killer on Friday the 13th, and I knew it, but she didn't. She's like, I've seen this movie like 1,000 times. But clearly not, because she got it wrong.
Right.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, it wouldn't matter if she got it right or wrong. They were still going to murder her.
Yeah, I think she would have. Yeah. And I think also when you're in that situation, you're probably not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of Sydney? Was she a believable heroine in this story?
I guess she was believable.
Did you think she'd be the last girl standing? Although technically not, because Gail's there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, she was, yeah, I believe she would be the last one standing. She's the main character.
Fair enough.
Olive, what did you think about the gore? You're famous for being a bit squeamish when it comes to that sort of thing. Did it disturb you, or become desensitized?
I just got scared of the jump scares.
The jump scares still got you.
Yeah.
Okay, but not like seeing guts hanging out or anything like that. Okay.
Those are so fake.
Oh, really? Okay.
I could tell that those were,
I mean, this movie isn't really like the most realistic thing out there.
I thought they did a good job with the guts in the beginning.
Yeah, I thought
the
so, guts too.
Guts just hanging out of their stomachs.
Yeah.
It was okay. Yeah.
Look at that. Kids today.
Yeah.
Just so desensitized. Just,
yeah, seriously. What did you think after viewing it? This is probably like the second time that you've watched it. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it in pieces, but this is probably the second time you've seen it from start to finish.
This is the second. Yeah, it is the second time. And the first time I saw it was back maybe couple of months after it came out, and everybody had blown so much smoke up this movie's butt that I did not enjoy it, because my expectations were raised to such a level that it was impossible to meet. So I was just like, it's all right. But this time, now that
almost 40 years have passed.
Jesus Christ, seriously.
Is it? Wait, 1996.
No, 30 years have passed. So with that and me forgetting 90% of this movie and having zero expectations, it's actually a really good movie.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
It flows very well. The characters are all really well done, really fleshed out, nicely written script.
Yeah.
Good. It was entertaining. Like, I didn't really feel bored at all.
Yeah. Like, to me, yeah, it was
fast-paced.
Yeah. And it was almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
An hour and 51 minutes. Yeah. So that's kind of a long ask for a horror film. Although now it feels like everything is 2 hours.
Yeah.
So when you get something on the shorter scale, that's kind of like a treat. But this, and again, you're asking an audience to sit through this. I mean, 1996 audience. Like, the reason I think that this movie did so well was because horror had kind of petered out. People weren't really focused on that. They were focused more on dramas.
I think we're talking about how it basically became a parody of itself, where the typical like slasher film, like all the slashers themselves just became sort of jokes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, oh, look, everybody's wearing a hockey mask, or everybody's pretending to be Michael Myers or Pinhead. Or Chucky, they were cracking jokes. Freddy was just like the master of one-liners. Mm-hmm. And it was just, oh, let's just mutilate people in new and exciting ways. And that was pretty much the whole selling point. You didn't even really care about the character, like the monster anymore. They weren't terrifying anymore. It was just like, yeah, look, there he is. He just punched that dude's head off.
Right, right.
And I think then people were just like interested in seeing people killed in fantastic ways, which is where you get the whole Final Destination series, where there isn't even a killer anymore.
Yeah,
it's just fate or whatever.
Literally what it is.
Yeah.
They're destined to die. So after they evade it, they have to get brutally murdered. Brutally murdered.
Yeah. In more elaborate Rube Goldberg-esque ways.
Yes.
To the point where even that became just a parody of itself.
Yeah. But and so it's this successful because it, what are they, five or six?
Who knows?
Yeah. The, well, same thing with this, with Scream. I mean, well, we Scream, just had the new one that was out, which was like number six in the series.
Yeah.
And they've recycled the, some of the old characters. But I mean, I think the reason, so.
What I was saying, before I was interrupted, thank you, was that there was a point where it's sort of like Peter, like you said, it petered out. It became such a parody of itself that people just weren't going to see this type of movie anymore, like a slasher movie. And they just weren't making anything new. And this was like the first new thing that it came out after a while.
Yeah.
Like maybe this, there was like a 5-year lull or 6-year lull. I mean, yeah, there would be a slasher film like him, but it was just, nobody gave a crap. It would be like Jason in Space.
Yeah.
Or something incredibly stupid like that. Manhattan came way before.
Before, okay.
Like, I was still in high school when Jason Takes Manhattan. And just that title alone, it's Jason, that, like, the Muppets Take Manhattan.
It sounds like it should be a musical.
It's now a killer, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would have been great.
Yeah.
If he just, like, busts out in a song, like, why doesn't anybody love me?
Yeah.
But there was that lull, and I think the audience changed.
Yeah.
And this was new to them again. Plus, sure. It was, you had all the homages to what had come before. I mean, they practically show the entire ending of Halloween.
Yeah.
They even use the music.
Yeah.
Like the background, the music on the TV is the music that you're hearing when the climax of this movie is taking place. So it brought in that audience. It brought in the new audience. And it was a colossal hit. I mean, seriously, people were blowing so much smoke up this movie.
This came out in December of 1996 on a $14 million budget. The opening weekend, December 22nd of 1996, $6,354,586, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you look at these other numbers, my God, U.S. and Canada grossed $103,046,663. Yeah, this is from a $14 million budget.
This was sort of like
gross.
Oh, sorry.
The worldwide gross on this sucker, $173 million.
That's a ton. And this was like back when this was like sort of the tail end when movies still stayed in theaters for a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're watching VHS tapes in this thing.
Yeah.
So this is before like the DVD market. Yeah. And I remember this film was in the theaters for a while.
Yeah. Well, I think also, like I said, nothing else came out. I mean, it's pretty ballsy to put out a huge, like, you think of slasher films or horror movies. You think of summer, popcorn entertainment. This is December. This is when everyone's dropping their prestige Oscar bait movies.
Oh, yeah.
So for a film like this to come out is sort of like against the norm, right? And then you have who quintessentially loves horror movies? Teenagers. Teenagers with a lot of free time during winter break and a lot of disposable income. So there's your audience.
Christmas money.
Yeah. So I think people hadn't seen anything like this in so long, and you've got the added bonus of pretty girls in here who didn't necessarily need to take their tops off, which is sort of nice because you think of the old horror from like the 70s and the 80s. There's always a boob shot. Always. Yeah. Always. So, and again, the story itself is very clever and very well written. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, propels it to a sort of a different status because it's now kind of taking the genre and reinventing it in a way that is showing future storytellers, hey, it doesn't have to just be just mindless entertainment. Yeah. You can have like a story in here. And again, I think the story within the story is also really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add?
Not really. I mean, I enjoyed it, so yeah. There's not really much to critique here.
No, not at all. I mean,
there is a reason why this became a franchise in and of itself.
Yeah, and also kind of paved the way for other films and other filmmakers to tell. I think
a lot of which was Kevin Williamson.
Sure, but I think again, I think you have like horror didn't have to be this grainy, low budget thing. I mean. This movie
Yeah, there was some money in there.
There's definitely some money invested in here. And it looks, it still looks sharp. And it just, it translates well, I think. I think that the writer had a really great sense of the horror genre, obviously loves it. And Wes Craven is famous for this stuff. So you have these two events that collide and make this kind of fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go around the table and get numbers. I'm going to start with you. 1 to 10.
I'd give this an 8.
Gigi, 1 to 10.
I'll give it a 7.
Olive.
7.
7. I, too, would give this an 8. I think from where it starts to where it ends, it's fun. It's a fun horror film. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, again, you could see... You can see the influences, and when you watch other things like Totally Killer, you see the influences from those storytellers from these sorts of films.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, yeah, we saw it on Max, right? So go check it out.
I think they got all of them.
Right? I was going to say, I think all the Screams, even the new one with Jenna Ortega and Neve Campbell and what's her name?
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox. I completely forgot her name.
How'd you forget Courtney Cox?
I don't know. That's such a fabulous name.
It's a terrible name.
Her daughter's name is Coco. But I guess it's Arquette, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That would have been bad.
Yeah, Coco Cox.
That sounds like a dirty breakfast cereal.
All right, and on that note, we'll wrap it up. And that's it from us, and we will bid you all a
good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Courtney Cox.